And now it's time for the good news here on Positively Inspiring New Thought Media Network. I am Reverend Michael Mangus. I am subbing in this evening for the Reverend Dr. Robert Brzezinski. And we would like to acknowledge where we get this wonderful news from, which is thegoodnewsnetwork.org, thegoodnewsnetwork.org. During the week, you can always go there for more good news, thegoodnewsnetwork.org. As we start off our good news this evening, a rule requiring gun dealers to obtain federal licenses and conduct background checks, regardless of where they sell guns, have been finalized and will soon go into effect, the U.S. Justice Department announced on Thursday. It's important because it aims at closing the so-called gun show loophole. It's a rule that clarifies what it means to be engaged in the business. And so those selling weapons at gun shows and other venues and online will face the same requirements as gun stores to check the backgrounds of those would-be buyers. An estimated 23,000 individuals are engaged in unlicensed gun dealing in the U.S., and the rule will impact tens of thousands of gun sales per year, a White House official said. The number of children that were killed by guns in the U.S. hit a high in 2021. Mass shootings have also surged in recent years, and the country overall has had a much higher rate of gun deaths other than other wealthier nations. Although it will increase the number of background checks, the rule does not include and does not constitute a universal background check. Certain firearm transfers, including those among family members, will still be allowed without a background check. Next on our good news, waste heat generated from electronics to warm Finnish city in the winter, thanks to groundbreaking thermal energy project. Heat stored underground in caverns can be set aside in Finland's summer months to be reused during the frigid winters, thanks to a state-of-the-art seasonal energy storage facility. Slated for construction this summer near Helsinki, it will be the largest in the world by all standards, and will contain enough thermal energy to heat a small, medium-sized city all winter long. Thermal exchange heating systems like those built underground or domestic heat pumps are seen as the most effective way available of reducing the climate impact of home heating and also cooling. Their function relies upon natural forces or energy recycling to cool down or heat up water and then use it to radiate either hot or cold energy into a dwelling. Veranta's Energy CEO says this: the world is undergoing a huge energy transition. Wind and solar power have become vital technologies in the transition from fossil fuels to clean energy. The biggest challenge, the CEO said, of the energy transfer has been so far the instability to store these intermittent forms of energy for later use. Unfortunately, small-scale storage solutions such as batteries or accumulators are not sufficient enough industrial-scale storage solutions. Veranta Energy is an excellent example of this, and we are happy to be setting an example for the rest of the world. In our next story this evening, India approves a massive $9 billion rooftop solar plan with panels for more than 10 million homes. Passed in February, a massive subsidy program to help Indian households install rooftop solar panels in their homes and apartments, aims to provide 30 gigawatts hours of solar power to the nation's inventory. That's a lot of power. The scheme will produce free electricity to 10 million homes, according to estimates. And the designating of a national portal, a sort of healthcare.gov for solar panels, will streamline the process of installation and also payment. The program was cooked up because India has fallen woefully behind on its planned installations for rooftop solar in many parts of the subcontinent. The sun is absolutely brutal and relentless. But by 2022, Indian rooftop solar power generators topped out at 11 gigawatts, which is 29 gigawatts under a national target set a decade ago. Even though in New Delhi, which can be covered in clouds and also smog for days, solar use report says that saving hundreds during the summer time on their electricity cost, with one apartment sharing $700 every month off of electric bills. Wow, isn't that wonderful? We'll be back with a lot more good news right after this here on your New Thought Media Network.
Global broadcast network of positive music, media, and entertainment. Inspiring humanity's evolution along the journey of enlightenment and creating a world of love, peace, empowerment, and prosperity for all. New Thought Media Network, positively inspiring.
And we're back here on Positively Inspiring New Thought Media Network with the good news for this week. I'm Reverend Michael Mangus. In our next story, incredible 60% of Europe's electricity was powered by clean energy in the first 2 months of 2024. According to an energy think tank, Europeans' generation of, now get this, 516.5 terawatt hours of renewable electricity in January and February satisfied 60% of the overall power demand. The generation is a year-over-year gain of 12% from the same period in 2023 and was driven by strong year-on-year growth in hydro and wind and a rebound in nuclear. Coinciding with this was a 12% year-over-year fall in the use of fossil fuels, with a 15% drop in energy from coal-fired plants, the think tank Ember reports. Here's another wonderful story. Wheels for Winners give hundreds of free bikes to Wisconsin youth in exchange for community service. In one of those of America's most cycling-friendly cities, a volunteer group is rewarding anyone who puts in time serving the community with a brand old new bike. Wheels for Winners only asks that the applicants provide evidence that they completed 10 hours of community service for any organization in Madison, Wisconsin. After that, it's a simple thing of just showing up, selecting a bike, and then riding off into the sunset. Relying upon donated bikes for parts, the chairman of the Wheels for Winners program, Neil McCallum, says that bikes are completely restored, dismantled for parts, or donated to other partners. Not a single bike goes to waste. We turn out around 400 bikes a year, but we take in probably around 750 bikes, said McCallum. What we're trying to do here is to allow young people that may not be able to afford a bike to have a bike with just a little bit of sweat equity. Wheels for Winners isn't alone in its admirable operation, and as a 501c3, it receives support from the community as a tax-free level, and even receiving a generous grant recently from American Family Insurance. In our next story, Insect Farm hatches plan for greener animal feeds for chickens and pigs. Now, there's been a lot of talk on the media over the past few years about insect protein. How do you feel about that? Whether used in fake beef protein bars or other processed applications, but a startup in the UK has come up with a way to integrate bugs into the food supply chain in a way that not only cuts emissions, but also doesn't upset the stomach. The now 9-year startup, EntroCycle, uses bugs to replace corn, soy, and fish meal as a high-quality animal feed for pigs and chickens. Of the major meat sources around the world, chickens and pigs are known in the industry as monogastric, meaning they have one stomach as compared with other meat sources like beef, sheep, and goat, which are ruminants, meaning that they have several stomachs. Ruminants only eat grass, roughage, and other vegetable material, but while chickens and pigs have been fed corn and soy and other agricultural products for years, bugs would have made up an important and large part of their natural diets, especially for the latter, which were domesticated from tropical jungle fowl. Now, at EntroCycle's London development facility, thousands of black soldier fly larvae are turned into protein feed for pigs and chickens. The species of fly will eat almost any of its wasted food, making insect farming a double whammy for the environmental waste management, as it offers potential to divert food scraps from the landfill, where they will generally generate methane, a potent, short-lived greenhouse gas. Well, that's a good use for bugs. We'll be back with a lot more good news after this here on your New Thought Media Network.
Please help us say thank you to our organizational sponsors, including the Heffernan Foundation, Affiliated New Thought Network, International New Thought Alliance, Science of Mind Archives and Library Foundation, Center for Spiritual Living Denver, Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, New Thought, Philadelphia, Planned Happiness Institute, Summit Center for Spiritual Living, One Heart Retreats, Center for Spiritual Living on the Lake, Unity, Kitchener. Unity Spiritual Center, Ottawa. Om Center for Spiritual Living, Satya Center. Begin Within Ministries. Center for Spiritual Living, North Jersey. Unity of Savannah. And the Center for Spiritual Living, Seattle. As well as all of our individual donors. Thank you for being part of the New Thought Media Network. Please like, share, and subscribe. New Thought Media Network, positively inspiring.
Choice. Your creative superpower. We have the power to manifest as we dedicate attention to our thoughts, but often miss opportunity to achieve the greatest good. Your superpower is waiting to be unleashed to unlock a fuller, more rewarding world for all. Join us every Thursday at noon Mountain Time for Choice, Your Creative Superpower with Zoe DeMuro.
And we're back here on the New Thought Media Network for our Good News program for this week. And I'm Reverend Michael Mangus, and I'm subbing in this evening for the Reverend Dr. Robert Brzezinski. Here's a wonderful news story. Joyous New York City coffee shop hires and trains people with autism and also Down syndrome. While a cup of Joe from the Café Joyeux is a normal experience in European cities, this radical and tremendous coffee chain has just opened its doors in the Big Apple. Located on Lexington Avenue at East 52nd Street, the first American Café Joyeux employs crew members with intellectual and also development disabilities, empowering them through meaningful treatment and employment. With Autism Awareness Day having just passed, it is a perfect time to go there for coffee. It is a beautiful thing to see the average Joe helping out its neurodivergent neighbors, but as humans are a communal species of social primates, few things can empower a person as much as the vote of confidence that they are worthy, capable, and also valuable of performing gainful and meaningful employment. To that end, whether it's a broad spectrum autism or Down syndrome, the cafe and the staff at Café Joyeux are trained and expected to perform like any other employee, something which Rachel Barcelona told CBS News changed her life. She said this, she says, "I've been rejected so many times and told that I was a burden because of my autism." She said, describing the shock she had when someone offered her a job, "and I was going to get paid too." Founded by a French social entrepreneur, there are 20 Café Joyeux across the old world, a number most Americans will agree would be very joyous to see here stateside. In our next story this evening, a pat on the back statistically improves free throw numbers in basketball, demonstrating the power of touch. In difficult situations, physical touch like a hug or a pat on the back can reduce stress, so much so that researchers from the University of Basel have found that it can statistically improve free throw points in collegiate basketball. The research demonstrates on how sensitive humans are to physical touch and how marriage and family therapist Virginia Satir's famous quote is that we need at least 4 hugs a day for survival, 8 hugs a day for maintenance, and 12 hugs a day for growth is spot on. One of the most stressful situations during any basketball game is a free throw, which happens when a player is fouled while attempting to score. Unlike in soccer, where anyone can take a penalty kick, in basketball, it is only the fouled player who gets the free throw. Of the 10 most successful NCAA teams since 2001, only one, Michigan State, shot fewer free throws than the median of 20.6 per game. Estimates of the number of games decided by free throws during a single season range from 4 to as many as 1/2 of all games, according to published research. Evidently, then, whatever can improve the free throw completion can only be a good thing for the team. The colleagues at the University of Landau and also Purdue University studied the situation using videos of basketball games. The study included a total of 60 games played by women basketball teams and 835 incidents of 2 free throws. The researchers counted how many times of the 4 teammates touched the shoulder before a shot, for example, by tapping her on a shoulder or squeezing her hand. They then calculated whether there was a statistical association between the number of touches by teammates and the success rate of the shot. The data showed this, that the chance of scoring rose when teammates showed their support through touch. The effect only appears after a failed first shot, which makes sense because such a scenario is likely to spike stress levels. Next on our good news, Paul Sheens is donating $100 to the Gary Sinise Foundation for Every Strikeout. Paul Sheens recently took to social media platform X to share his inspiring initiative. He called upon fans and supporters and fellow athletes to join him in supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation, a renowned organization dedicated to serving and honoring American veterans and first responders. Join me this season as I support the foundation in raising funds for our nation's veterans and also first responders. I am personally donating $100 for every strikeout I record this season. Please click the link in my bio to join my mission and make your donation. Skeens was a standout athlete during his college years and garnered national attention for his exceptional talent as a pitcher while representing both the Air Force and also the LSU Tigers. The announcement of Skeens' pledge has sparked widespread enthusiasm and support across the baseball community and beyond. Here's a nice story before we go to break. Millions of wildflowers now delight the town after a Vermont couple got tired of mowing the lawn all day. From a small Vermont country community comes the story of two Long Islanders who ditched mowing their massive lawn and planted wildflowers instead, delighting the neighbors, the birds, the bees, and also the butterflies. They've steadily grown their wildflower meadow to 2.5 acres, which has become so popular that it inspired others to do the same. Jonathan Yacko and Natalie Gillard started their makeover during the pandemic when Gillard lost her job and Yacko's hours were cut. He still worked remotely for the same company that he had when they lived on Long Island. And he told the Washington Post that their 5-acre property in Vermont used to boast a sea of grass that required a whole day to mow and to trim. Wanting to do something different, they explained their predicament of exhaustible mowing to a local who they have befriended, who just happened to work for a company called American Meadows. It would cost a couple hundreds of dollars and require a fair amount of initial work, but the friend suggested that they plant wildflower meadows that would grow on its own even afterwards. Yacko told the Washington Post that we had no idea what we'd be looking at after we first planted the meadow, but that was a part of the fun. The beauty of the meadow was striking, and soon it became to draw attention among the local community. People offered gratitude for coloring up their morning commute. People brought baked goods, bouquets, and most importantly for newcomers who had had difficulties meeting new people on Long Island, they brought friendship. How wonderful is that? When we come back from break, we will share with you our New Thought Media Network Hero of the Week right after this. And finally, in the good news, this is the New Thought Media Network Hero of the Week. Our Hero of the Week comes from San Antonio, Texas. In a heartwarming display of compassion and ingenuity, a group of teenagers in San Antonio is turning plastic bags into sleeping mats for the city's homeless population. Led by the organizations teens give back, these young change makers are making a tangible difference in the lives of those in need. We take for granted having a bed to go home to at night after a long day of work or school and the comfort that it brings us. Addie Roberts with Teens Give Back said, with this in mind, Roberts and her peers decided to repurpose to use grocery bags into something invaluable for San Antonio's unsheltered residents. The process of creating these sleeping bags involves patience, dedication, and a collective effort. Each mat requires weaving of approximately 700 to 900 plastic bags, and it can take up to 15 to 20 hours to complete. Despite the labor-intensive nature of their project, the teenagers remain steadfast in their commitment to make a positive impact in their community. In some temperatures, the mats can save lives by keeping people off the ground, said Rex Bryan, who is the Vice President of Emergency Services for Sam's Ministries. Indeed, the simple act of providing a barrier between individuals and the elements can make a world of difference for those who are sleeping unsheltered outside. Over the past year, Teens Give Back have produced approximately 50 mats demonstrating their dedication to serving those experiencing homelessness in San Antonio. As the teens continue their mission to transform trash into treasure, they invite others to join in their cause and to make a big difference. Teens Give Back, our hero of the week here on the New Thought Media Network. Well, that's all the good news for this evening. Join us next week at 5 o'clock Mountain Time, 7 o'clock Eastern, for more good news. On behalf of all of us here at the New Thought Media Network, I am Reverend Michael Mangus, and that I will see you at 8 o'clock this evening Eastern Time for Friday's Fireside Chat. Good night.